On this episode of the Say What Again Billy podcast, we're diving into the intriguing world of solar eclipses and the theories circulating on social media leading up to April 8th's solar eclipse. Those cosmic events that never fail to leave us in awe. But first, let's take a journey through history. Solar eclipses have mesmerized humanity for centuries, sparking myths, legend, and scientific inquiry. From the ancient Chinese records documenting early observations to the mathematical predictions of Claudius Ptolemy, these celestial phenomena have always captured our imagination. Fast forward to present day, and our understanding of solar eclipses have expanded exceptionally. We now know that they occur when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, casting its shadow on our planet. And while we've come the long way from interpreting eclipses as omens, their allure remains unchanged. Let's talk about the upcoming April 8, 2024 solar eclipse, a date that's already stirring up controversy and conspiracy theories. While scientists eagerly anticipate the chance to study the sun's corona and the effects of totality, others speculate about more nefarious agendas. Some conspiracy theorists claim that April 8, 2024 eclipse holds hidden meanings or sinister purposes, from alleged government experiments to predictions of doomsday scenarios. And while these claims may seem far-fetched to some, they've gained traction on certain corners of the internet. On tonight's episode, join Nick and Billy as they dive into the conspiracies and all the uproar on social media. This episode of the Say What Again Billy podcast starts now. Hi, Nikki.
Billy boy.
You know, this is one of the episodes where I'm actually not excited, because the reason I'm doing this episode is I like to do trending topics. And for the last 2.5, maybe 3 months, the topic of this solar eclipse that we're about to have on April 8th is all over social media, from conspiracies regarding biblical things like Jesus coming back and certain Bible stories and verses, to other things that are more believable, like the hot topic is also weather control and creating weather, you know, storm production or rain clouds and chemtrails and all that stuff, which is believable because I follow a certain individual online that is making it his point to, he's a figure on social media that this is his topic that he covers. He's an influencer that covers weather control and all that stuff. And the more I look and watch his videos, I'm like, wow, this makes sense. Like, if you watch Ancient Aliens and you can continue each episode and go on a binge watch, a lot of stuff makes sense on there. Anywho, I'm on social media and I'm looking at all this stuff. And being that we covered another hot topic, which was a couple of weeks ago in the form of a boxing celebrity named Ryan Garcia, I figured let's do an episode about solar eclipses. And here we are. And I did a reel last week about nothing's going to happen, and I will say the same thing in this episode. So with just jumping right into it, without further ado, this segment of Nick's Notes is brought to you by Spotify for Podcasters. If you need a way to get your podcast idea out there, head over to Spotify for Podcasters to get started. Nick, give me some notes on solar eclipses.
All right. So I broke this down into two categories. There's more general scientific knowledge-based fact, and then there's going to be some conspiracy notes in here. I know you're probably more well-versed in them. I picked up some, but let's talk about the science side of it, right? Solar eclipse. So you got definition. One, the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun. That's the definition of a solar eclipse. Okay. It occurs every 6 months. There's actually a solar eclipse every 6 months. However, it's 18 months on average if we're talking about a total solar eclipse. It happens about every 18 months. Now, to occur at any given place, though, just to put this in perspective, you know, for anybody who's of a certain age, Halley's Comet is every 75 years. For a total solar eclipse to happen in the same location on Earth is every 360 to 410 years. So we will not see a total solar eclipse in this little strip that's going to happen on April 8th for another 360 to 400 years. So it's pretty wild. That's even with advancements, I don't think I'm making it that long. So, but also you have predictions of these events. They've gone back to the 4th century BC. China was predicting them. Used to think these predictions used to use these as supernatural events. They were God. They were the fates. They were whatever, you know, when we were pantheistic peoples and we believed everything was some kind of God. That's what this was. But we got good at predicting it, including with Ptolemy. All right, so Ptolemy was a mathematician, and he kind of figured out.
You know, I pronounced that last name so flawlessly.
I know. I was like, I wonder if he's going to nail this one, and it was good. So,
you know,
Joe.
I'm holding up my mushroom stuffed animal that I bought for the studio.
Thank God you said stuffed animal. Anyway. Yeah, I think you had a lot of practice with Joanne's last name, so...
That's it. De Jesu set me off in a world of pronunciations.
That's right. Welcome to the land of pronunciation. Sorry, I'm in Willy Wonka mode. So, Ptolemy was able to determine that, you know, there's a mathematical formula. He could determine, he could calculate the speed of the moon, and with all those kinds of factors, the location of the moon, he could predict with fair certainty when lunar eclipses were going to happen. In fact, we're so good at predicting them now, based on his earlier work and as we've advanced in our mathematics, we actually have centuries ahead already predicted and on the calendar. Like they know, I have a couple of dates later on, they're going to, well, at least one, for the longest total prediction to occur ever. So now...
Longest total prediction?
Longest total solar eclipse, the longest prediction.
Time. Because this one now... is supposed to be longer than 2017's solar eclipse by a minute and 30 seconds or something to that extent.
And I'm going to talk to you about exactly how long the maximum total solar eclipse could be, because there's actually, they factored out a maximum. So you need protective eyewear, even if it's a total solar eclipse. The only time you don't need protective eyewear
is when the moon is completely covering the sun.
The total phase of the total eclipse, which is not a long period of time, and I'll get to exactly how long in a second. And first off, we're talking about solar eclipses. There are four types. There is a partial solar eclipse, which is the one that was talked about earlier, where it happens every 6 months. Okay, it occurs two times a year, usually passes without notice because the sun, even at 99% coverage, is still brighter and is not going to really give you that perspective. Like, maybe you see something, but for the most part, unless it is a total or very close to a total, you're not going to even notice that the eclipse is occurring. There's a hybrid. Now, a hybrid is a shift between what's considered an annular and a total eclipse. Okay, and so let me describe annular. Annular happens every 1 to 2 years, and it kind of gives that halo effect. So it's... you will see that solar halo around the backside of the moon. So if you've ever seen, I think the show is Heroes, way back on NBC, a long time ago.
That they did twice.
Right. They did a Heroes Reborn, right. The first Heroes got kind of screwed over because that was the first writer strike in 2009. So that's how long ago. This was 2008, 2009, the show came out. And they had the eclipse. But you could see
the sun. Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
Hiro Nakamura. Okay. Love that dude. And but you could see the sun kind of like a halo around. You could see it as an outline around the moon. That is not actually a total eclipse. That's considered an annular eclipse, okay? So you can see that halo. So that's part of a hybrid. Now, a total eclipse happens every 18 months and completely obscures the solar light, but only in a small sliver called the path of totality. So you'd have to be following this path of totality. Otherwise, it's not a total eclipse. It's relative to your positioning. Totality never lasts more, cannot last more than 7 minutes, 32 seconds. You know why?
I'm going to dig deep into the mushroom storage right here. It can never last longer than 7 minutes and 32 seconds. My educated guess is that something to do with the orbit of Earth.
Close. It's more about the orbit of the moon and the fact that the moon is moving at such a speed, it would not block the sun for longer than that period of time. I think it's like 1,600 or 1,700 kilometers per whatever. It's moving so fast that after that 7 minute 32 second mark, it would be beyond the total, even in the even in the path of totality. So the longest predicted one, they do have a longest predicted one. You can look up a lot of these dates.
Will we be alive for it?
Not unless we're living to be 200 years old on the head, my man.
No, okay.
Okay. The longest predicted one is supposed to be July 16th, 2186. It's supposed to be the longest one predicted as far as anyone that we've had on record. It's supposed to surpass the last one that's even longer was like 1811. So like these are big gaps we're talking about here. That's almost 380 years. So here's a cool trick that I did not know. Do you know that gravity defying occurs during these events, all right? There's controversial but unexplained gravitational anomalies have occurred and do occur during these eclipses.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a little wild.
I wonder if they're going to not have planes flying from the hours of 12 or 1300 to 1400 when it will be long over.
Correct. So,
which they use that time, by the way.
Yeah, use UTC or they use military time.
They use military time.
So, I mean, it makes sense though. It's gravity defying because you have some animal issues when these eclipses happen.
This is the one day I wish I was working.
Right, because almost everything goes away.
I really wish I was working just to see particular things at my job and how they act.
The birds will go into their nests. Squirrels will go into nests. Basically, the only thing that you're going to really even hear, because almost everything goes silent, are, because the animals kind of get funked out, wild out by this, are crickets. You'll hear cricket noises during these events. Okay? Didn't get too far into that, but I do know these animals. Now, the birds make sense to me when you think about gravitation, because a lot of the birds, they got to fly with the thermals, and they rely on the gravity, and their sense in the air is all about how they are in relation to the Earth's gravity. So it would make sense that if the thermals are being affected in a gravitational setting because of the sun being blocked.
I didn't know you were such an ornithologist, buddy.
You're going to laugh. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, there was a book series called Animorphs.
I remember.
Okay. And
I bought them just for the covers. Just like I did.
You could play with the cover, right?
Just like I did with my Goosebump book.
So, Tobias was one of the main characters, one of the original, you know, main Animorphs, and he turned into, I believe,
a hawk.
And every time they transformed into birds, they would describe the process of birds. They would ride thermals up, and then they would shoot down with their the velocity would go up based on just their direction and gravity pulling them down. So I'm not that big of an expert. I just remember all of that stuff because I found it very interesting when I was a kid. But if the gravity is being affected, obviously they can't ride thermals. So, you know, that's a lot of how we have engines in planes, but they can ride thermals too. It's just they're big metal planes, big metal birds. So those are the general facts. Those are the general facts of solar eclipses. Okay. You then have the April 8th event.
Dum, dum, dum. I don't know why. We have solar eclipses so many years. I'm 37 years old. And every single one, I've never heard this much controversy. Granted, social media is a thing heavily the last 20 years. But, like, this is the first time I'm seeing people. I'm hearing reports of today when some of my coworkers were leaving. They get out like an hour and change earlier than I do, some of them. They're like, yeah, they're closing schools on April 8th. I'm like, what?
Oh, wait, I'll get there. That's in there.
What?
That's in there.
I can't wait to hear the reasoning behind this.
So, April 8th, the event, right? So it's funny because I brought up Heroes. This is almost sounds like the plot to an episode of Heroes, right? So the April 8th event starts. It's going to start in, I'm going to say this wrong because I don't know how to pronounce this one. Mazatlan, Mexico, maybe? It's definitely going to start in Mexico, 9:51 a.m. local time in Mexico. Okay, the totality is going to begin at 11:07 a.m. in Mexico for 4 minutes and 20 seconds. That's how long it's going to last in Mexico. The totality in the U.S., they can give a span of time in any particular area. They just talked about the entirety of the U.S. The totality zone or the strip of totality will go from 2:27 p.m. local time, so that's 14:27, to 15:33. So from
3:33.
So 2:27 to 3:33.
Okay.
Right. So, which is, you know, I was writing this. I wasn't paying attention. It's threes again. Mm. It's 333.
333.
And then 227 is 54.
Ironically, the week of Easter or in the that week gap.
The week after. The right. Week Easter's after. Monday the 1st. This is Monday the 8th. So this occurs one week.
No, Easter is the 31st.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Monday that's the 1st a mushroom thing. Is Easter Monday. You're correct. I apologize because Sunday is the 31st.
Keep in mind, biblically, Jesus did not ascend to heaven for 40 days.
Correct. So which would actually be...
And when he died on the cross, there was a...
Was it an eclipse? Darkness. Was it an eclipse? Maybe
when
it was an
he
eclipse?
Was dying, as he died, total darkness ensued the lands.
Sounds very much like an eclipse there, Billy.
So it's, and it's all within the time, this time of post, no, I don't think Lent official, no, Lent officially ends on the 31st, but there's another period, which Frank Panessa would know, of when Jesus ascends to heaven, where it's the day it actually.
So you do know that Lent actually for Roman Catholics ends Thursday night.
On Holy Thursday.
Correct. At sundown.
The washing of the feet.
Correct. At sundown, it ends for Roman Catholics. I mean, for different Christian groups, obviously, yes. It's different days, different numbers. But, you know, so like...
Washing of the feet, and I believe the Stations of the Cross, yeah? Oh, that's Friday.
Stations, I believe, is Friday.
Oh, okay.
Stations is Friday, right. It ends on Thursday because it's the last night.
Frank would be so proud of me right now.
Yeah, well... Someone out there, God, is listening to Billy... Get ready for his
priest. I almost became a priest. Go ahead.
I know. That's what we're talking about. Okay. So 227, 333, and it's going to end east of the land borders of Canada. That's where the zone of totality is going to end. That's when the moon will have moved too far beyond the ability to block the sun, and we're back into partial eclipse to no eclipse. So you're going to see all this darkness happen. Now, so they tell you to be prepared. And I know you said your prediction... How you are, I'm just going to tell you why they're telling you to be prepared. They want you to stock up on groceries and gas.
Oh, my God.
They want you to print, for people who are young, driving directions, which is what we always had to do. We'd have 4, 5, 6 pages of MapQuest to drive to locations.
See, it's scary when you're saying this stuff because I literally ignored a gist of this and only started watching some of the... I actually was scrolling through social media... And I saw April 8th eclipse, and I right past it. I was like, this is ridiculous. But when you're saying it, it's like, all right, maybe prep a little bit. I think my kid is off that week. Actually, I'm sure they are. It's on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all home together, ironically. Probably going to fill my gas up regardless. I'm 100% getting toilet paper. For I learned my lesson last time.
Right, during that
but
thing.
Do I really think this solar eclipse is going to... Unless I'll get into my theory. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I'm not going to go conspiracy. I'll tell you go why on, they I'll have you they my, have these.
I
rules.
Got two theories.
So they also they want you to be patient. So these are the four things they said: stock up on groceries and gas.
Yeah.
Print driving directions.
Okay.
Be patient.
Right.
And there are going to be school closures and remote learning in certain states, including New York State. Now,
get the fuck out! Why?
Okay. So. Here's the but why, right?
You just in New
said,
York State
you literally or, just said but why. I want you to New read York, Nick's notes. New Go York ahead, read
State,
what that says there.
New York State or New York City?
New York State. New York City, I don't
New
think
New York City Mayor doesn't care.
No, I don't think he knows it if he turns it on. Where it's not going to be good. Where it says it right there. Like, but why?
But why? Okay. But
no, why? I'll read it. It's funny that you said but why.
But why? Oh, yeah, I did.
But why?
You know me well.
So, you know tornadoes are another natural disaster, right?
Yes.
Okay, what do we have with tornadoes? We have a certain kind of person, right? They chase tornadoes, right? They chase them storm across the country. Yeah. Storm chasers.
Yes. Okay. They're making another reboot of that, too, by the way. Twisters.
Is it a Twisters. Reboot or a sequel?
It's a reboot.
Oh, okay.
Twisters.
Right, which is not going to be good because Bill Paxton is dead. So, so sun chasers, which is very much a thing I never knew about until
Sounds
I started
like
researching.
Some Native American thing.
Well, they're tourists. They're people who are chasing the zone of totality. For this total eclipse.
So they're driving from Mexico to Canada?
They're driving from wherever to wherever, wherever it starts, and they're going to drive across the whole strip. Like, you know, you've scrolled.
Is that possible? That's not possible.
If they've got full gas, and they've got their supplies in the car. That's why they're telling
how
you.
How is the speed going to match up? Like, they're driving from state to state. So, well, I guess mathematically.
I guess they'll get to as much as they can.
Well, they can't stop at the border. What are the right. What are the?
Or maybe they'll start.
Well, matter of fact, no. Everyone just goes across the border anyway. So
maybe they'll just start in the United States then. But so they're going to suck up all the food and gas, right? These people are going. If think of that scene in Independence Day. Remember the first Independence Day when they're all like driving
pell-mell? There's only one Independence Day.
Okay, buddy. Right, good. So in that movie, they're all driving to the base.
Right.
Right? And they're driving across the desert. Just imagine that kind of motion with these cars. They're going to take all the gas. So that's why I say fill up your gas tank. So I say get your food. Because it's not like we're worried about a food supply chain issue, but if you need it for a couple of days, your stores might be kind of barren because you're going to have all these extra people in the area sucking up all the resources out of the stores. Now, you would hope
stores... That small little group of people that chase the sun during solar eclipses is going to suck up the food supply in cities and states.
Okay, I'm just going to say Swifties, okay? You could say small little group, but those people...
They just suck up oxygen.
Okay, but there's a lot of them, a lot more than you think there are, right? So we don't know an exact number, but they expect that there's going to be some disruptions to gas and restaurants and supermarkets.
This just makes my conspiracy theory that much better. But go ahead.
The reason that they want you to go out and buy your groceries is because if all these tourists are going to the restaurants, right? They're using up all the food in the restaurants. What do the restaurants have to do? They can go to restaurant supply stores, but if they run out, then what are they going to do? They're going to go to a supermarket and just buy what they need, right? But they're going to buy it in bigger amounts because it's a restaurant. So buy your food, get your gas filled up. They say that you should almost treat this like a snowstorm, like a heavy snowstorm. Like you maybe snowed in for a couple days, maybe up to a week, have enough supplies for that. That's how you should treat it. Okay? Because these people are not going to just go home immediately. They're going to bunker down in whatever motel, hotels are in the area. Cell phones might not work during the eclipse itself.
That's, yes.
Okay, now there's two reasons for that. One, obviously the sun could affect the cellular towers. Okay, just by sunspots. We know that scientifically sunspots in general have affected towers, and we've seen it actually has been happening a lot lately where we've gotten spotty service. But you're also going to have all
didn't
these
people. Didn't they blame that outage a couple of weeks ago for, was it AT&T?
Right,
a sunspot. On a solar flare?
Right, so solar right. flare, sunspots, all those kinds of things. But this is also because if all these storm chasers, all these sun chasers are driving and they're texting and they're snapping photos, that's going to overload the system too.
But I know this is your notes and I know this is your research, but the storm chaser thing is making my blood boil. Them alone is not going to cause that.
Well, I'll put it this way, just to do rough numbers. If you put 20,000 extra people in a cell tower, it's going to overload the cell tower. I can't
imagine 20,000 people chasing the eclipse from Canada to Mexico or from Mexico to Canada or from Mexico to Timbuktu. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Look, I get that there are fans of this music. I keep saying Taylor Swift because she's just popular right now. Like, I could pick any artist, right? There are plenty of artists I never liked, but I could say that I would never believe that. And I know this for a fact because I know somebody who's done this. Somebody would buy tickets, whatever tickets they could get for Taylor Swift, and then go to the country to go see the concert. I know somebody who got tickets in like a Germany. So they had to buy tickets to go to Germany to go see this concert because that was the only concert they could get
tickets
for.
But then who does that affect with resources?
Well, the people in Germany. Because you're going to Germany. I'm not saying that it's just two people, right? Like I'm being a little facetious here. I'm sure there's more people that do that. Mm-hmm. There are these super fans that go to every show, right? Now, imagine that on a grander scale because these things only happen every 18 months. And in a specific spot where you could actually get to, where you're not worried about police or endangerment because it's supposed to be a safer, freer area, right? This isn't going to happen for another 300 plus years. So they're going to do this. They're going to go nuts.
I guess.
So now that's all that. Prepare for traffic, right? Because you're going to have extra people on the road. So when they say be patient, prepare for these
traffic, people. I get. People because probably going to get
they're
out
they're
also
going to go do one of these. Like when you're driving on the highway and you're watching people take photos
I get that's going to happen. So, I wholeheartedly can see people like pulling over or people literally stopping to
mid-lane.
That I can see. And you know what? That'd be the only time I give them a pass. I'm like, this is pretty good. You're not going to see this for a while. go for it.
360 years. So yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, not going to see it ever again then.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to see Halley Comet again or no?
Halley's Comet, we came out the, I believe, if I'm not much mistaken, it was the year we were born. So we didn't really see it. We were alive for it, but we will get to see it if we live to see like 75, 76.
Definitely not me. Count me out on
that. I think you'll make it.
Yeah, no.
You're looking to be in mighty fine shape. You must be working out.
Absolutely not going to make it.
Well,
I probably have 16 ulcers just sitting chilling in my body right now.
Well, you're probably having ulcers free of charge from these sun chasers.
Yes.
Okay, so now one more thing about just the science area is how to take photos, because there's going to be people obviously want to take photos with your smartphone. Okay. If you have a smartphone like an iPhone or a Galaxy or an Android, something that's kind of well done and put together, or a Google phone, they already have the camera, so you don't need to go out and get a telephoto attachment, because it's already on the phone. It's already built in. However, for some people who don't have those on their phones, you're going to need a sun filter. You're going to need a clip-on telephoto attachment. All right, again, it's not needed for some models like the iPhone or the Androids. And you're going to need a tripod, because unless you want to really hold it, and then you kind of can't look unless you're hitting that perfect area.
I'm going to take my welding mask home and just put my phone
right up in front of it.
Like that. Or be normal and watch the solar eclipse from the welding mask.
I mean, I saw pairs of two for like $8 on Amazon, and they're made by a very reputable company. So like the most reputable company for solar glasses. So like a 25-pack costs $65. So it's really not that expensive to get. They look like those old-school 3D glasses.
Yes.
But the lenses are built in a way that you could actually view the eclipse without harming the retina. See, this is the problem, because when it's dark, you don't assume you're still getting these rays because it's darker, but you're still getting your eye, and you won't feel it until way after. Your eyes are
sand eyes or something like that.
Right. Your eyes are going to be very affected by staring at the sun.
It's the same thing as staring at a weld.
Right.
They tell you do not stare at someone welding or have your mask on when you are welding, because after 20 minutes or so, you will feel like you have sand in your eyes.
Yep.
And it's a shitty feeling.
Right. Now, most people won't stare at the sun when it's bright up in the sky because you can't. But, oh, the moon's in front of it. It's very dark. I'm good. No, you're not, guys. So be very careful when you stare at these things. You still do need protective eyewear. Again, unless you hit that total eclipse zone of the total zone, but you'd have to time it almost
perfectly. This segment of Nick's Warnings is brought to you by...
that's William's Warnings. Just brought to you in Nick's Notes. All right. So, again, for the photos on the smartphone, sun filter, clip-on telephoto attachment, and a tripod. And they say the best thing to do is to set it in burst mode and to put on focus lock. I don't know what focus lock is. I know what burst mode is. It's when you take like 10 photos in a row so you can get a better shot. And just keep clicking it, and you'll get more and more shots to choose from. And staring at the photo of the sun is not going to burn your eyes out, because you're not actually staring at the sun. So you may not get a great photo because it's like a blurry movement, because it's super bright, but you got a better shot with all those things. The sun filter, the tripod, the clip-on attachment if needed, and set burst mode. Okay, that's all the sciencey science stuff. I'll talk to you about a couple conspiracies that I saw, and then I know you've probably got a few more, because you've been trolling them.
Own like, conspiracy.
I try not, so I... The way I look at it, I know we talked about Ghostbusters last week, but the way I try and do it is like with a movie trailer. I don't want to watch the movie trailer because it'll end up fucking the movie up. Like Ghostbusters is different, right? There's certain properties I'll
watch. Did you see it yet?
I have not.
I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, jealous.
You're more than welcome to join.
I might have to. I might have to play hooky and go.
It's at 8 o'clock.
Oh, even better. So,
and we're going to Wild Wings at 6.
I can't make Wild Wings, but maybe the movie. We'll talk about that. Where at after, but I have a pretty good idea if you're saying Wild Wings in a movie. But I try not to troll for the topics we're looking at, because I don't want to be affected by somebody else's viewpoint. I try and just look at it from my angle. And some of you who are listening, I know some you might want to just write in the Q&A and be like, Nick, you suck, you're wrong. That's fine. I accept that criticism. Just write it in there. Let me know. If you think that there's something that you want to talk to us about, drop it in. So anyways, conspiracies. Big boy, everybody knows his name when we talk about conspiracies, Alex Jones. Okay?
Oh, he chimed in on this?
8 minutes of chiming in on Twitter. or X if you prefer. I know that's the name. So he posts this 8-minute clip to X and also to InfoWars, which, you know, people, some people will say, oh, I posted to InfoWars, it's automatically wrong. Okay, fine. You're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not arguing one way or another. Anyway, so this pass over, this 8-minute clip is about the fact that this eclipse is going to pass over 8 cities, all named Nineveh. Right? Is that correct, the pronunciation, Nineveh?
Nineveh.
Nineveh, okay. So geographically, though, when you look at it, it's only actually going to be experienced as a full eclipse in 2 of those 8 cities of Nineveh. Okay, so even though there's 8 of them that it's passing over, only 2 of them are really going to see the area of totality, and that's Nineveh, Indiana, and Nineveh, Ohio. Okay? So it could be connected to, you know, the whole concept is it's kind of connected to the Assyrian eclipse. So Nineveh was a location in the Assyrian Empire, and if you've read the Bible, there's the book of Jonah, or there's the story of Jonah, I should say, not the book of Jonah. There's the story of Jonah, and Jonah goes to the Assyrians to try, and Nineveh specifically, to try and get these people to repent. Like, they are the kind of people that you want to repent before another flood kind of happens, right? So he goes, he's not really successful. God's is going to forgive them through the prophets or through the angels. And Jonah's kind of ticked off. If you've ever read Jonah, he gets mad because he does all the right things and he gets shat on. Meanwhile, he watches all the people do the bad things and they get forgiven over and over again. But there's no further info really available to make this connection that was posted. It's more just like, well, Nineveh was in the Assyrian Empire and there was a eclipse during the Assyrian Empire. And
he's just reaching.
I don't know if he's reaching or he's just like, you know, a lot of the times people want to put things together. People are, it's a scientific fact. Human brains are designed to find patterns. So he's looking for a pattern and this is the pattern that he found. Doesn't mean he's right. Doesn't mean he's wrong. This is just the pattern he found.
Okay. So his theory is with that, what?
It's got to be some kind of biblical connection because it's passing over this biblically named world or biblically named
cities,
which what's the statistical odds of 8 cities being in the line? So I guess you can look at it like that going, well, that would be like hitting, there's Washingtons all over the country, right? That'd be like hitting every Washington or every Kansas City or every Springfield for that matter, which is why Simpsons is so androgynous with where Springfield is. I don't think they've ever actually said which Springfield they're in. Like, mm-hmm. You could kind of use clues, but they've never actually said which one of them. It's like 25. So what you're picking. So what are the chances of going across 8? High. What are the chances of all 8 being in the zone of totality? Extremely high, but it's already here. It's down to 25%. So, you cherry pick facts. Obviously, it's going to fit your narrative. It's going to be a confirmation bias because you want it to fit your story. All right? However, when you start picking apart certain things, you do see not perfect. Again, I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just saying there are holes to the story.
Got it.
Okay. Then there's also the New Madrid conspiracy. So now New Madrid is a fault line. So I'm sure you've seen this one because after I finished my notes, I happened to be going on social media, had to fix my Instagram because I got blocked out and had to make a new one. And I saw this pop up, the New Madrid fault lines. Okay, in 1811, another eclipse, so I knew there was an 1811 here, another eclipse crossed America and a series of earthquakes occurred in the Mississippi Valley along the New Madrid fault line. Some posit that these earthquakes are going to happen again. They're kind of like almost like a set of ley lines that cross. I think there's 3 of them. And it's all at this New Madrid fault line, which is an earthquake line. It's tectonic plates. And which when they move, the earth shakes. That's kind of how that has been scientifically proven. You could move plates. If you move one metal plate across another metal plate, in any profession, if you've ever seen it, if you've ever driven over them, they vibrate. That's how it works with the earth's plates, too. So they assume that these earthquakes are going to occur, and they're going to be big, kind of almost doomsday ones because of where it's located, where these 3 kind of fault lines all come into the New Madrid earthquake. And it just happens. Just so happens that the New Madrid fault line is along the zone of totality. Or the zone of totality crosses across the New Madrid fault lines.
I mean,
that's all I really picked up on my stuff on my end for Nick's notes. So like that's where I'll drop off there.
But I'm not any type of astronomer or what's the study of
geologist, study of the Earth.
Yeah, but there's a study of people who do earthquakes, and they're called
seismologists.
Fucking mushrooms. And because that was in Ghostbusters Afterlife, right? There was a reference to earthquakes.
Yes. With the mountain.
He's like, Mr. Gruber was like, there's no tectonic plates here for there to be earthquakes in this, whatever.
That would be Paul Rudd's character, right?
Right. So I don't know what happens if there's an eclipse, and obviously the moon is blocking out the sun, and what can happen. You said very minute gravitational occurrences that are weird.
But I think, honestly, before you get too far into that, I don't mean to cut you off, that has probably more to do with the fact, like I brought up thermals, right? Thermals are heat. You block the sun, the temperature is going to drop. It can drop up to 3 degrees Celsius from where we're at. So if it's, I'm not doing conversions, it's like it's like 9 over 5 plus 32 is how we get from
Celsius. What's 3 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit?
37.4 degrees Fahrenheit.
So it can change almost. So if it's a 40 degree day out during the eclipse, it's almost going to be zero. It's going to drop. It's not going to go up. It's obviously going to go lower. So it's going to get colder. Wind kind of dies down because you don't have the sun.
And
the moon is in a weird position. So you might see the water go calm because it's in a very weird position. Like all these kinds of things can occur. And so that's probably where the gravitation comes in, because the water's affected.
I just don't know about the plates moving that particular day because of the eclipse, and the eclipse having some type of physical effect on the Earth for those plates to move.
Are you saying it's a coincidence?
I don't believe in coincidences. I just believe that this real Madrid plate theory.
New Madrid.
Real Madrid. I'm thinking about the soccer team.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
The New Madrid plate theory is just something people dug up from.
I see what you did there.
1811.
Right. So there was some earthquakes in 1811 that did follow from the eclipse that happened in 1811 in that same area. Again, gravity being affected could force these plates to move. If gravity's affected, it's going to affect the Earth.
I'm going to jump into my conspiracy theory, because I don't think anything's going to happen. But I haven't trusted the government since the end of 2020. That's when I really drew the line.
Something happened then?
I don't trust them anymore at all. Now, yeah, I know. So anyways, long story short, I can't say who on air, off air, I can tell you. But this particular individual travels back and forth from New York to Florida. And I'm going to make a newsreel about it this week on the strange and interesting news segment that I've been doing weekly now. And he texts me week to week, you know, we stay in touch, and he goes, I flew out to Florida to spend some time down here. And when I was at the airport, the TSA is asking people to scan your face when you are in the airport about to board flights or whatever. I said, what? And he sent me the clip from X that someone else also experienced this. And he was like, dude, it happened to me. I don't know why. I denied it. Absolutely not. You have the right to deny. There's no reason for a TSA agent to take your photo at all. You're not under any type of investigation or under any crime. So in reality, you can deny, and if they give you a hard time, you call their supervisor. He denied it. They didn't give him a hard time, and he got on his flight, whatever, or landed, and they did it, whatever the case. So I confirm there is a couple of reports of people on X doing this. They're saying that this is happening. So that's sketch number one, that this is happening literally a few weeks before the solar eclipse. Now, we're seeing all these movies prepping us for something to happen. Civil War, the Obama-produced movie that was on Netflix a few months ago. I really do think that if anything is going to happen, in the nature of grids going down, cell phone service, anything to that extent. I think it will be done as yet another test, because I think a test was done with compliance a few years back. But I do believe that if anything is going to happen conveniently during a natural phenomenon, that it would be done by the means of our own government to see what would happen, which could be very bad, because if things go out with the power, I think the worst thing that anybody can do, any country to us, is not nuke us, because you don't gain anything from that. You lose ground, you lose people, you lose money. Things would be shit out of whack. But I think if any country is going to harm us, including our own,
that'd hurt the cyber infrastructure. You will,
the cyber infrastructure would be compromised, and it would send everyone into a mass chaos. You would have no access to your money. You would have no access to information. You would, some people wouldn't be able to drive because you went out and bought an electric car like an idiot. You wouldn't be able to charge your car. So that would cripple people. And what would ensue after that happens, like if, God forbid, this does happen on April 8th, is there would be mass looting. New York City right now, contrary to what the mayor likes to say on Instagram like a fucking idiot, is, oh, crime is down. And we literally see in the newspaper this morning, Daily News, crime is up so much, it has spiked significantly on the subways alone, that if the power or anything goes out, New York City would become a what we saw during the summer of 2020. It would be, or 2021, whatever. It would be like that. People would be looting. People would be getting murdered. It would be just chaos. And that would be the perfect way for them to study what would happen or to cause some kind of unrest leading into the month of November, which is 8 months away, for certain individuals to say, we cannot hold a you-know-what on November 8th or November, whatever day election day is, because of this stuff that happened. Or they are testing it out so that come the month of August or September or October, guess what happens? Oh, we can't have an election this year because there's a lot of people that are starting to see a lot of things in numbers and things like that that don't like particularly who may or may not win. And that is my theory. Now, what are you showing me
here? So while you look at that, and then
can I read this out loud?
Just before we do that, I want to talk real quick. You're going to actually agree with, you know, I don't know how people stand, but if you'd never agree
well,
with...
Well, I hope this doesn't happen, because I am really enjoying Helldivers and MLB The Show.
Well, you will. So they have a bill that they sponsored in regards to UTSA. It's actually been going on since like March of 23. They've kind of been piloting it. But in November of 23... Congress co-sponsored a few people, both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, including Bernie Sanders, to ban the TSA from using facial recognition. So, and I don't know how far it went, because
Bernie Sanders said no to that?
Yes.
So wow, he's been on a roll, 32-hour work week, banning that?
So, he has had some good ones that have come out. But I just figured you'd want to hear that. They have tried to... attempt that. Now, the other thing that I just showed Billy to our listeners. Yeah, you can read this part.
Solar superstorm could wipe out the internet for weeks or months, scientists say.
Now, that's what, February, right?
This is from November 8th, 2023.
November. So this
is ironic date. This is November 8th. Why is that ringing a bell? That's not Election Day. That's Veterans Day?
No, that'd be like November 10th. November 8th, is that like the date from Back to the Future?
I'm going to use calendars on your phone real quick.
So that comes out in November of last year, and it's kind of interesting that right now we're talking about a solar eclipse, which could create some solar havoc. And yeah, there'd be some good things if the internet went down for 6 months.
November 8th, nothing is on November 8th.
So their
election day is on November
5th. Usually the second or third. It's a little later this year, because normally it's a little earlier. It's the second.
Because of the leap year?
Might be. Which is funny, because my son told me I didn't have a birthday this year because of the leap year. They had to take a day away. So my birthday, which is fine. I hate my birthday. But interesting thing is this research comes out. I knew about this. I heard about this way before I heard about the solar eclipse. Like, I'd heard about this. I was like, oh, that'd be great. Because I work in a field where if I could get the internet away for 6 months, it would eliminate 90% of my problems or more.
Could also create a lot of problems.
Yes, because this generation of human beings that's living on this earth, a lot of them do not know how to communicate face to face.
I wouldn't mind a couple of days without the internet, but that would also mean that people's way of living
would be vastly changed.
It would, I mean, no, but like financially, you would be really fucked. Like a day, a blackout. Oh, you know, we had a 90 something degree day and a blackout happens. Not for the entire United States, but in a city, it's a different story. You're talking about a mass.
6 months.
Yeah, that would be catastrophic.
I think there'd be so, there would have to obviously be allowances for bills and stuff because people have gotten so used to, and I'm one of them and I'm guilty of it, of paying online. Okay, fine. We can get around that. That's workable. But that's,
some people only allow you to pay online.
Yeah, but you can work around that. That can be worked around, right? What would really go down, and I'm, you know, I use my social media accounts too. You'd have no Instagram. You'd have no Snapchat, you know. TikTok's getting banned anyway, unless it's sold to an American company.
We know why they're doing that, but go ahead.
So, you know, none of those social media sites. And to your end, now the only people you're going to get your news from are the media. So now there's no more dissemination of information. We can go that route if you really want to.
Did you see that Instagram, what they did with the political news hiding? I was like, you know, sometimes you see these news clips about stuff and they're not real. Well, in fact, I went to my personal account and went to settings and found that my settings were automatically on to not see any type of political news from people I may or may not know. Because when you're on Instagram from the last couple of years, you see people that you don't follow. Things pop up. It's an algorithmic thing. So you see things that you don't follow coinciding with things you potentially liked. I did go to settings and I found that it was off and found a site that, you know, the people I follow that told me if you want to see political news from multiple sources, which I do because I'd like to see both sides of the story on potential.
Right. It's the only way to really.
Yeah.
It's the only way to really.
But it was set to off on Instagram. Like, I was like, wow. So why would you do that? And it's, of course, an election year. Why would you want to turn off news politically? Like, don't you want people to see, even if they're not into politics, like certain news stories? Like, there's a lot of news stories coming out on every member except for one individual who's been completely shut off of social media and the news and on anything else because he's running as an independent. He's been denied Secret Service protection, which started for all candidates after his father was assassinated. So that's pretty crazy that the news is not really showing anything, or he has. Dude, don't get me started. But
you go real deep on that rabbit hole. So, but my point is, this came out last year, and I did know about this. I've been, you know, I'm like, I'm of two minds of it because I do play games online, right, occasionally, but I'm also old enough to remember sitting and playing co-op games on the couch with your friends, like GoldenEye. We played. You played. Connected to the damn 64, to the, if we're lucky, your friend had a small television that you could play it on, and you all kind of like,
you were lucky if he had a big television,
right? I mean, but most of the time you had a small television, you had the four-way split screen, and you had to remember where you were.
You're screen munching.
Yeah, I hated that stuff, but it was fun, right? Okay, I could live that way. I could do that. You know, it would take some re-getting used to reacclimation because I'm so used to the way it is now. But this generation now, I don't think they have any idea what it's like. We're older than Google, just to put this in perspective. Like, folks out there, we are older than Google. So we remember when internet searches were like, drag your teeth. You'd rather go to the library to pull stuff up. Now it's so quick and so convenient. Could you imagine turning it off for 6 months worldwide? That would do to people?
It would. I'm telling you, dude, that would bring out, if the internet went down for 6 months, for 1 week, it would just, violence and so much would ensue just from that. Because there's so many places that rely on the internet to operate. I know there are certain attractions that in order to get into that particular attraction, because of the COVID days, you need to go online in order to book tickets to go to that attraction. When you reach that attraction, you need to pull out a either printed QR code.
Right.
So for them to scan for you to go in. And I see a lot of people, when they get to the movies, I have my movie tickets on my phone.
Right, in your wallet.
I pull up my wallet on the iPhone, and it goes and scans. And, okay, 4 tickets for Ghostbusters. You go in. At attractions and public places and cities, your phone, you go in.
MetLife Stadium. It's all digital tickets. There's no physical tickets anymore.
Yeah, so that would be so bad.
Yes. People would have to acclimate. I mean, you can still print hard copy tickets. They would have to do it. Like, if you have no choice and you want your business to continue, obviously. But my thing is, it's wild that this came out, sat on it. Like, I knew about this for a while. I didn't know about the solar eclipse until recently. But then you think of it from a conspiracy side, if you want, just so people, because I know we do discuss conspiracies. That's part of what we discuss here on the podcast. From a conspiracy point of view, you're going to shut off the every man's ability to relate whatever information they want through dissemination on the socials, online, and only mainstream media will have access to the story.
Now, because I wanted
just
to do,
in time.
I wanted to do, yeah, just in time, ironically, 8 months until November. Real quick, because I wanted to make this a shorter episode today before we hit our spring break. We are taking a spring break. No episode
Woo,
next
party.
Week.
We're going to be on the beach in Miami, right?
Getting some episode ideas together. They'll be on the site. And we'll be back, all three of us, in 2 weeks. Because no episode next week. But anyways, long story short, why are they shutting the schools down?
Okay. So, one, if we're worried about travel, mm-hmm. right? So, if we're worried about travel, obviously, we want the kids safe. Fine. I get that. Two, if internet goes out, what's the purpose of having you? I mean, remote learning doesn't work without internet. I understand that. But if you post it online and then they can just get their work done and you don't have to worry about your safety, you don't have to worry about your staff safety, you don't have to worry about kids' safety. Also, it depends on, like, you know, you don't want people, they really don't want people on the road during this strip of totality because it's going to be dangerous for driving. It's going to be, forget. The
How?
Extra trap. Well,
How?
It's just that pitch black. Most people do not drive in that pitch black. Most people don't. Most people.
People are making it sound like it's going to be. I have never witnessed.
It's going to be a dark. It'd be like a dark night in the middle of the day.
I have never witnessed. Again, I think my daughter is off that week, so I will be able to go outside or go to a location where I could see it, which I already have in mind. I have never been part of an eclipse where it was. Even the last one, which wasn't potentially a total eclipse, it wasn't that dark. So I cannot imagine it being nighttime dark. And that's just me not experiencing a full solar eclipse. But then again, cars have headlights and high beams. And drive themselves now.
This is true. Let's see if I can pull this up real quick because I don't want to keep us too long. Good news you'll appreciate. Human interest. Chase to America. Where is the history? So I'm looking for the school part of it right now. Where the heck?
So it's just you don't really even have to go crazy, but it's a safety protocol.
It's mostly so multiple schools will cite traffic concerns as reason for solar eclipse closure. So because you don't want people on the road with kids in the car and idiots driving because you know that they're going to just dead stop and hit things, you'd rather have them off the road. It'd be safer for the kid, it'd be safer for the parent. Especially because dismissal times in the United States are going to line up with where it's going to be on the Eastern Seaboard.
Well, the average dismissal time is 3 o'clock.
It's between 2 and 3:30.
Okay.
So it's going to rail right into that time frame.
But it's supposed to start at 1:30 from what I read.
2:27. It's going to hit the United States at 2:27, and it's going to go until 3:33. So that's right in the sweet spot of dismissals.
Okay, so I have to be at my presumed watching spot, give or take, by 2:15.
Yeah, well, I would say
comfortably.
Two at the latest if you want to be in a comfortable spot.
Gotcha. Wow. So I also, that was my conspiracy that I gave before. I also think that the eclipse itself, taking out the government plotting and trying to do something as an experiment or a test run, I don't think anything's going to happen. I have been alive long enough to experience every considered end of the world scenario, from Y2K. Yeah. I've went through 9/11. I've went through mad cow disease. I've went through when clowns were on the street, people were dressing up as clowns. I have went through mad cow disease, avian Lyme flu. Disease, avian flu, H1N1. I have been through it all. I've been warned to shut my computer off before 2001.
Oh, that was great.
Or 2000, whatever yeah. it was.
Turn it off on December 31st, 1999. It won't turn back on.
I don't think anything is going to happen. And if it does, I hope it's something biblical. Like, hey, like the skies, the horn sound, and, you know, like, okay, it's going to happen, and we're going to live through that. That, to me, would be cool. Like, hey, all the shit we're going through right now, that actually needs to happen. We need that to happen ASAP. And then things would be great. In the long run. But to know it's happening, that'd be my way. Do I think that's going to happen? No, because as I said on my reel, no one knows when he's coming back. If you're Catholic, if in whatever religion that you guys are privy or follow to, you know, maybe in your religion, an eclipse may mean something. I don't think so. I think nothing is going to happen. I have a strong 50-50 guesstimate that there may be some type of mass government testing on this date because of the natural event that's going to happen.
Listen, I mean, let's just say it's probably going to be darker than 2003.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, we had a big blackout in the Eastern Seaboard in 2003. Like
we did. That was a miserable. I remember that.
Oh, it was miserable because it was hot. You had no air conditioning.
I remember that all too well. Could not sleep. I slept on the floor. I went to the kitchen floor.
I was going to literally go in the bathtub and sleep until I called my brother, and he was one of the areas that actually got power back pretty quick. I was like, oh, bro, I'll sleep on your floor. I don't care. It's too hot. It was like 90 degrees that week.
No, it was miserable. It was miserable. I got no sleep, and I remember waking up the next morning, going to a bakery that had stuff that was still good. To like get cookies and stuff,
and they were just trying to sell it because they didn't want it.
Yeah,
to,
because like no one was cooking. I mean, you had gas stove at that. We still do, but I mean, like
not much longer.
Yeah, right. Fucking ridiculous. I went to the bakery and you know got some stuff, and then lights went on afternoonish, and I was like, oh, thank God. I know the ACs weren't full power, but it was good enough
yeah.
compared to the night before.
Right.
It was a crazy time, but anywho, so April 8th. At 2:27 in the United States to 3:33.
Correct.
Well, we have to stay. And you know, it's a Monday, so there'll be an episode that night.
That's right. If the internet still works.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be fun because we could do our episode, whatever the topic is going to be that day, and then we can talk about either nothing happened or if the internet doesn't work, then I'll just...
That's right. I could do
Nick's notes. You know not to come by the studio on that particular day.
Yeah, I could do Nick's notes out of a library. It works.
Well, that's really good. And I want to thank you for the Nick's notes. Awesome information about solar eclipses. Some things that I didn't know. I did do my research. It was a very good monologue that I kind of had to breeze through because I didn't record it the usual day I recorded. I had to do it before we started recording. But Nick, thank you for that. And talking about solar eclipses, Doomsday, and Ptolemy was all made possible by Spotify for Podcasters. If you haven't heard about Spotify for Podcasters, it is the free app by Spotify that allows you to get your podcast idea
out there.
All you need is a tablet, phone, or computer if it's still working and hasn't got messed up from a solar eclipse. Download Spotify for Podcasters, and it gives you all the tools and tricks within the app to get your podcast idea out there. So if you have a podcast idea, go to Spotify for Podcasters to get started. Nick, awesome job. I guess I'll see you in a week or so, and we'll stay in touch. And if you're off that Monday for some reason and you want to join the Eclipse Watch Party, I'll let you know where I'm going
to
be.
I look forward to seeing you, or will I?
Yeah? Oh, boy. I can't wait. I have a reel already in my mind ready to be like, you idiots, you wasted your months of social media. You have borrowed time on TikTok, and you talked about an eclipse. Anywho, this has been another episode of the Say What Again, Billy podcast.